Okay, so is everybody back?
Bill isn't, but Will on his own.
Okay, so are you ready, Val?
Thank you.
Give me just, they can go ahead and start, so that's fine.
I'll take this.
Reconvene. Where were we, let's see.
Middle of the focus topic.
Dave, do you remember what you were explaining?
Yeah, I was explaining, pretty much explaining the, the invoice payment process to you, and the last thing you asked me, Barbara, was how do we determine what has to be pre-audited and what doesn't?
Yes.
And that's where we left off.
Okay, yeah, and it was the money or the...
Based on a dollar amount or the specific account that we code it to.
Yes, yeah. And you had mentioned that we have about 13 accounts altogether.
13 different funds. Yeah, and I came up with that. What I did was I just took the federal grants we get, and they have a federal and a state component to them. So I count that as kind of two pieces that we have to monitor. And then we got the trust fund, the Social Security mentoring grant, and so on and so forth. I just came up with a quick number of 13 different funds, if you will, or funding vehicles that we have to draw from and monitor daily.
But to be honest with you, and I shouldn't say to be honest, the other piece, but we only have in essence what five funds, if you will, that we can put that money into. We have to use coding to keep those monies separate, and we don't do a lot of coding for to keep monies. We do keep the monies separate for the mentoring grant. In terms of the trust fund, we have a number of different items that are in that trust fund, and we only keep separate the mentoring grant, if you will, the Catherine D. Robinson money. We keep and even at that, those things are kind of kept separate, kind of in a ledger, if you will, more than. And if I go up and if I go in and I query my trust fund, that trust fund is going to say there's about $200,000 in there. It doesn't necessarily tell me exactly where $200,000 is. I have to go into my own records, if you will, to keep track of some of that.
But if you were, and you know, we certainly wouldn't want this to happen, but if something were to happen to you, whoever would be dealing with it would be able to figure that out and keep that going.
Able to figure out, yes, where the mentoring money was, how much mentoring money was there, and you know, how much the gifts and bequests were. Yes.
Is there a limit on what we could have as far as, you know, that fund? Can it get as big as it can without anybody saying, okay, we're going to cut back on...
The trust fund, yes, that can get as big as it needs to be. Now, most funds, the state does tell you how much money you have authority to spend, but the trust fund is not one of those funds that they can tell you how much you can spend. Now, the other part to that, and I'm not real sure exactly how to, I don't know, yeah, the state cannot necessarily tell us how much money we can spend, other than you can't spend more than what is there. But with other funds, yes, they do appropriate monies and give you a limit as to how much you can actually spend.
And I want to jump in on this. I heard your question a little bit differently. We've been kind of cautioned in the past to be aware that if, let's say, we had $5 million in the trust fund, chances are pretty good that when state legislators and the governor would look at a proposed budget, they would say, well, nah, you guys don't need this money. So that's what I heard. So there is a certain caution there in terms of availability to get state funding.
Because it is still a state fund, if you will.
And we wouldn't be able to do things like, well, I don't know, maybe I should ask that differently. If we wanted to do something like raise staff salaries or things like that, that we wouldn't be able to do that outside of the parameters of that, you know, what the... whatever that
personnel yeah, that's correct
thing we,
as you recall when we did,
yeah, I remember that
that was a major process. It has to be all approved by the state,
and it has to come, it can't come out of something like that. It would have to,
right?
Why is that? Is that because it then becomes, it seems more private than public, or more private than state, or what is the deal about that?
The money could come out of the trust fund. It's just that we could not give a raise more than the state labor contract allows for. Okay? I hope that doesn't muddy it up. But in essence, this, we have to follow... we have to follow the state personnel rules and the state accounting rules, if you will. And the state accounting rules, you know, there's a law. We can't spend monies without a law to support those expenditures. And so, and like with salaries, there's a specific law that is passed that tells us how much we can spend on salaries and how much of a raise we can give, and that's all negotiated through the state labor contract.
Is there a state, you know, teachers, we have education association, is there a specific union that bargains for our state?
Yes.
Employees, including the commission employees?
There is. It's the Nebraska Association of Public Employees, which is and AFSCME.
I can't remember the acronym for AFSCME.
But yes, there is, Daryl.
That answers my question.
Yes.
I don't have an opinion one way or the other. I just wanted to clarify.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there is a labor union that represents contract employees.
Okay.
But people can belong or not? I mean, can they belong to both of those entities? Or
it's one entity. It's Nate asked me.
Oh, it's all one, it's one thing. Okay.
But it is optional for them to belong to the union, but the union is the sole negotiating group, yes.
And the union will defend or work for any employee, whether they're a member or not.
Right.
Does anyone else have any other questions?
I was just wondering about one thing, and I know this isn't going to happen, and it probably wouldn't be a good thing anyway, but if, you know, you were talking about, you know, if there were $5 million in the trust fund or whatever, and let's just imagine that all of a sudden we get this funding from all over the place, that we can become a private entity. What kind of a... how would that affect us with the state and so forth if we did that? I mean, that's just, I guess, hypothetical, but just ran across my mind. I know that's not going to happen, but...
Go ahead, Pearl.
Primarily, the catch would, or the implications would have to do with the federal funding, I believe. We are, as a part of the Rehabilitation Act, the state designated agency. Each state is required to, not each geographic state, but each state government entity is required to have established vocational rehabilitation program for people with disabilities in that state. Mm-hmm. And if there weren't a state designee to do that, the funds wouldn't just go to the private entity that's there.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd be more like, say, a lot of states have private service systems for the disabled or blind. Things like Lighthouse and Goodwill are considered those. But they wouldn't, they're not eligible for those federal state agency funds.
Okay, but I guess I was thinking more on the fact that guaranteed we'd have enough money to function and whatever, and we went private. How would the state laws affect us then, as far as the way we wanted to do things?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Would that affect us totally then?
Again, if the state law was changed, it would take a change in state law in order for the private entity to become the designated state agency. Is that where you're going with
yeah,
this, Nancy?
Yeah, but I mean, let's just say, okay, we could be private, and so then the state would have to come up with, but I mean, as far as the rules, would we have to account to the state for, we are spending this money for this, even though we're privately...
I don't think probably... We wouldn't necessarily have to adhere to the state accounting rules, but the feds would require some kind of accounting, probably similar. Okay, does that make any sense?
Yeah.
The feds could still say, unless these people give us assurances that we talked about a little earlier, unless they give us assurances that proper accounting methods are being upheld, and we will decide what those proper accounting methods are, mm-hmm. then we still won't approve the state of Nebraska making, we won't send that grant money to this private entity. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
And the other thing that would impact that is what kind of an organization it was set up as. If it became incorporated as a private not-for-profit,
yeah.
Is it 501c3, is it 501c6? You know, there would be differences in what was allowed.
Okay.
Well, and since there has to be a designated state agency, I don't think that would ever be mixed like that.
Now, we could close our training center, and an entrepreneur could establish a private training center for the blind, which with whom we could contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could happen. But as far as the mixing of state and private, I don't think that can happen in an agency as a whole.
And probably what would happen is then there would be the private training program, plus there would be a state-run one. Not necessarily.
Or if
you wouldn't have a state one.
No.
Oh, okay.
The state could decide to contract with that one or with whichever one it wanted to.
Okay.
But then the state, then we would then again have to have the same kind of assurances from that private entity that there was a proper, in order for us to purchase that service
yes.
from the private entity, we would have to have proper accounting, proper policies and procedures that assured us that, you know, the right kind of training was done and was paid in the right way.
So in actuality, it would be basically the same thing, just that it would be contracted out in a different way.
That's correct.
Okay.
For instance, the confusion, I suppose, would be, for instance, I always never realized this until I, you know, heard, did further research, and like the Louisiana Center for the Blind, that's a private center, right?
Yes.
Okay. That, yeah, okay, that clears it up.
Okay. Okay, does anyone have any further questions?
One thing that I would just add is there are a number of things that I put in the document. There's some links that I put in the document that I sent you regarding my job.
Yes.
And those links could be fairly helpful to you if you do have questions regarding, again, federal rules, state accounting, all those sorts of things. And obviously, it's not something that you probably refer to on a daily basis, but I would have you kind of keep in the back of your mind that if you do have some questions, there are some resources there that might be able to help with that.
Yes, if sometimes some of those things can be really confusing, but we're really glad that we have you to ask questions.
Well, that's,
when we do read some of that, and it gets wow.
It is really difficult because in essence, we have to be given authority to do whatever we do. You know, as a government entity, we can't do anything unless somebody has given us permission through a law. Through through a law, if you will, to do it, and it is. It certainly becomes cumbersome at times. We try to do the best we can to keep it as low key and as behind the scenes. But again, purchase orders and reimbursements being filled out, they really do have to do with a lot of those sorts of things that the taxpayers want us to be accountable for every penny that we spend, and there has to be a methodology, if you will, out there behind all those sorts of things, and it does become difficult.
Now, I remember how strange it seemed to me at first when we would get something, be all excited about it, and then need to wait for like a letter from the governor or whatever to say, yes, you can't spend that much.
Yeah, I rain on a lot of parades.
Yeah, but, you know, it does come down to accountability and, you know,
sure.
Right now we have very good people that we can trust and we know that they would do the right thing, but one never knows what's going to happen down the road, that somebody might slip in under the radar that wasn't trustworthy, that we do need to have those kinds of accountability things.
Control is always a major issue, and walking that fine line between having proper controls and that control the, you know, making sure that things don't go to inappropriate places, and then again being able to provide those services really does is a major part of how we try to balance things.
Well, and we appreciate creativity because that really is part of what needs to happen. You know, I mean, some people can get so worried about if it doesn't fit in a pigeonhole easily, well, we just won't do it because it doesn't fit in there real easily. And, you know, we appreciate the fact that people are willing to be creative and think of how, if this is a good idea, if someone comes up with something that is a good idea, how can we, within the parameters that are set, or if we need to start thinking about changing those, how can we make this idea come to fruition? And one of the things that we appreciate is having a staff here that deals with things in a creative way so that things that really are good ideas can happen. Because, you know, it's a real bummer when mm-hmm. when the system itself keeps good things from happening.
Yeah.
And it takes creative human beings to do that. So, you know, we recognize that and we appreciate it. And just on a personal note, we were sorry to hear about your mother's death too, Bill.
Oh, you know, well, thank you.
Those things are always difficult to deal with, and
it was a strange month of October, let me tell you. But I really do appreciate that, folks. It means a lot.
Yeah, just as the when fiscal year is starting and all of that, there you are, and we appreciate the fact that you did that through that time.
You bet. Thank you.
Well, if there are no further questions, we thank you. And as we continue to look at these links and things, you will probably hear from us further.
I'm gonna have you on the end of your seat.
But... there you go. You mean it isn't a page?
You won't be wondering what the next page says.
But we do. We hope the less you hear from us generally means the better job we're doing. So, we try to remain in the background as best we can.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate too the fact that very few people are doing a whole lot of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't really realize until you start looking at all the different things. You think but when you haven't been there, it was a real eye opener to me how many things you guys are doing. So
well, and you do it in a friendly way, and that's really that's good too. Because if we mess up or something, it's always good to have somebody friendly at the other end.
Exactly.
Well, I'm always first in line at making mistakes. So,
it's a tie.
Yeah. You know, we try to be the first, the one who doesn't make mistakes casts the first stone. Mm-hmm. We don't throw very many rocks. Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you both for coming.
Yes, thank you.
For sending the reports. And Val, too, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. That's right.
We didn't.
Without this whole crew, we're just real fortunate. The whole crew talks to each other, and we work together pretty well. Even though Val does have those little idiosyncrasies, we're pretty fortunate to have a really good group of folks to work amongst, and that certainly makes things better. And that includes the supervisor, although we wouldn't necessarily want Fatosh to think that we really enjoy working with her too.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, guys.
Well, and we do appreciate all the things that you do too, Val. Every time we want to set things up or change them or whatever, you're friendly about that too.
Yeah,
which
makes
is a good
it so
thing.
Easy for us. I mean,
my
honestly.
Main job is keeping Bill in line. I can sign mine up in one statement.
See you guys.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, excuse me. The next item is public comment. Is there public comment?
We don't have much public.
If not, since we already took a break, I believe we'll move on into the next item, which is the report from the chairman. I did attend the show and tell and the luncheon that was provided by the American Council of the Blind of Nebraska and the college workshop and the karaoke night provided by the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska, all on the 8th of August, and it was a really fun day. not only that, but it was very productive, and I think that it's wonderful that we have programs like those that happen here. Also, we did complete the evaluation and staff survey process, and you know, we're again thankful to everyone for participating in that, and to you, Nancy, for getting the survey information out. And then we did have the meeting on the 17th of August with James Sermons and Sue Rankin White, and I'm glad that Bill and Bob were able to attend that by phone, and I was able to come in person. And sorry that the other two of you weren't able to be there. Those kinds of things are, you know, I think necessary for us to participate in, and I'm glad that we keep our direction and sense of where we're going and our purposes in mind, you know, regardless of all of the kinds of things that happen where it seems like it's, you know, one little item after another that needs to be dealt with, some of which are necessary and, you know, and some of which don't seem to be as necessary to me. But then, you know, I'm a consumer, and that's where my heart is and where my brain goes too. Mm-hmm. Also, I did attend and give an annual report at the state convention of the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska as the designee on the commission board. And on the 16th, right after that, I had the privilege of being here for the Bosses Day lunch that was held for supervisors and for Pearl, and it was a fun thing. Nobody went away from there hungry, that's for sure. And also on the 10th and 11th of this month, Bob, Daryl, and Nancy and I were all part of the mentoring event in Omaha and the White Cane Banquet. That was again a fun time, and I think definitely this project is something that it's good for us to have here in Nebraska. It's, I think, a really necessary part of what ought to happen as far as blind people helping other folks who are blind to get a start and get some direction. So I'm glad that that's happening. We did get our calling card information, and it was good to have it in Braille, and yeah. We'll see how that system works. And I was going to comment on how good it is to have the new technology for the recording of meetings, but you know, I don't know. It is a good thing, and we'll keep on working about that, and you know, and see what, you know, where we can go from here with it. And I think it's a good thing to be working on it and experimenting, and that's one of the things that I was commenting on earlier about creativity. I'm glad that we have that here, and we have the willingness and everything to experiment and to keep doing that. It's wonderful. We did get the anniversary letters for Carlos Servan, Candy Larson, Bill Brown, Jan Brandt, Sean Jernis, Don Ward, Terry Harris, Nancy Fleurel, Fatosh Floyd, and Amy Burrish. And I think that's a neat thing that you do, Pearl.
Thank you.
I do too.
I think that's...
Yeah, that is nice.
That is a good thing. And also we're glad that Connie Carlo's position has been upgraded, and we thank you again, Val, for the staff listing updates and things that keep us aware of who's who and where people are. And we also appreciate the update kinds of things we get from Kelly Coleman and others about accessibility features for things and all the tech suggestions. And and I was here for the Optilec person who came on the 16th of October to see that new technology. I think it's great that we keep having tech things here. And I'm glad that round two it and those things are continuing and we're successful. And it's good that we have people involved at the national level in conferences and things. Like Carlos is being involved in the employment conference and Pearl being on a lot of boards and things. And, you know, we do need to have that connection. Glad to keep getting the Social Security reimbursements. I know that's something that Dottie works really hard to have happen. Glad that the air filtering system is in the shop and that the mm-hmm. plaque is up in memory of Jolien Hurley. And we do appreciate the invitation to the Thanksgiving dinner. I wish I could be there.
Yeah.
Could have been, but, you know, some things just scheduling-wise don't work out. But it's good to be invited. It's a neat thing. Yeah. And I'm curious about this American Braille flag, too. Mm-hmm. I wonder what that is. And, of course, we had our email problem. Hopefully no messages got completely lost during that time, but, you know, we just keep working on that stuff all the time, too. And we appreciate getting the Friends minutes. Dr. Nyman sent the ones for the 30th of August. And we're glad to welcome the new staff. Nicole, whose name I probably don't know how to say, Chopin, is that
Chopin.
Right? Chopin. And Mitch Green in Omaha, and Becky Bartling in Kearney, and Renee Barton in North Platte. Look forward to opportunities to meet them. Some of them we have met, but not all. And it's always good, as I always say, because I always mean it, that it's good to get the center reports and the community projects. And it's so neat to have people entering things into the state fair and county fair and yeah. winning ribbons.
Exciting.
And getting, you know, getting blind people out there in the community. It's just, it's a neat thing. And we're glad that the NIST accessibility keeps being worked on and the additional space for Scottsbluff and Lincoln mm-hmm. and, you know, all of those things that we know take time and effort to do, and we're glad that people are working on those. And the agency description, it's good to have that kind of thing available for senators, for anybody who needs something that quickly tells people what happens here. We're glad that for our next meeting, the arrangements have already been made, and the next two meetings. And, you know, it's good to have that stuff done ahead of time. And the two-room idea for February is a great one, you know, so that logistics can work well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That, I think, is pretty much it for the report from the chairman, unless people have questions. It's been a busy time.
Barbara, this is Val. Mm-hmm. You were going right along, and I was trying to keep up. At the very first, you attended the show and tell by the American Council of the Blind, and then...
Well, the show and tell was by the commission.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the NCBVI, the show and tell and the college workshop were both the commission, and then the ACBN had a luncheon, and the NFBN had a karaoke night and, you know, refreshment thing.
And that was all on August 8th.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item would be public comment again. If there is no public comment, we'll move along to the executive director's report.
All right, thank you. It's been a very busy quarter. I guess I'll start with our client numbers. Field services for this time we have the year end of the federal fiscal year 06. In vocational rehabilitation, we served 602 people. We had 73 people successfully close their case with achieving their employment goal. We also had 51 people close without a successful resolution. Quite a few of those were moved away or, you know, decided that they weren't interested in services. Independent living, we served 701 people, 201 were closed successfully, and 43 were closed without achieving the goals that they had set. So the total servant, the total persons we served were 1,303. December 1st, we are moving to a new Scotts Bluff office. That'll be at 1517 Broadway, Suite 128. It's downtown in Scotts Bluff instead of up on the north end of town. It's co-located in a building with the Area Agency on Aging, Assistive Technology, Vocational Rehabilitation, and Health and Human Services.
Wow, that makes sense.
That would be a really good thing for connections with people and easier for people to get to us. It's also cheaper, and for this current fiscal, state fiscal year, we'll save about $3,000, but we'll also spend about $3,000 in moving costs and setting up the new workstations for people. But next state fiscal year, we will save about $8,000, and the following, we'll save about $10,000. So yes, it has very good impact, both in the fiscal and the client aspects. We also have added an additional two rooms to our space here in Lincoln. We've rented space on fourth floor for technology demonstration purposes, and it also has a conference table so that meetings can be held up there. That's going to cost us about $3,000 more per year. But especially with all the new technology we purchased with the Assistive Technology Grant, we really needed space for just keeping the products, but also for demonstrating. So that's exciting. Then the center, center students are going to meet with the governor and lieutenant governor. They will deliver holiday goodies and the information about the agency as kind of a public outreach thing that they have been doing. But they also will, the governor is going to take advantage of that meeting to present the center with the Braille flag. And that is December 18th, meeting with the governor at 11 a.m. And then meeting with the lieutenant governor at 11:30. The Braille flag is something that a Kansas Braille Institute, I may not have the exact name correct, but donated or presented this, what they call a Braille flag, United States Braille flag, to the governor of Nebraska in the past month or so, and he wanted to give it to us. And so he'll be presenting that to us on December 18th.
Have you actually seen it?
No, I have no idea what it's like. We're all pretty curious.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that should be interesting. Incidentally, in the center, we have some pieces of artwork. One is a painting, and now more recently one is a quilt that were made by students. The quilt is newer, and I don't know if any of you have seen that, but it, in addition to being a fabric quilt, it also has beads that braille out the mission of the commission.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's very neat.
Yeah.
If you, sorry, I hadn't thought to mention that before, but make sure whenever you have a chance to check out the thing. So I'm thinking that this
flag would be
something we'd also display in the center. Pardon?
Mm. Where are they? Where are those?
The quilt is as you're walking toward the center, just before the jog of from Lincoln District to the center, just before you turn north, it's on that east wall. And the painting, the oil painting is on the north wall, just outside of Jeff Altman's travel office. Hmm. Are there any other student-made?
No.
Okay. I didn't think I missed any. I didn't, would hate to do that. So,
what is the painting of?
Oh, it's a lake with mountains around it, and
black.
Pardon?
Black.
The Black Hills.
Okay.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
So, anyway, I have lots to report. I better keep moving.
Sorry, I'll quit interrupting.
No, that's fine. That's the fun stuff. As you know, we've been tracking since 1996. We've served 143 full-time clients in the center since then. Our results at this point is about 22% are still in school, and then of the others, 92% are employed, and let's see, about 74% are competitively employed. So there's only 6.3% not working. This is better than last quarter and continues to be the best employment rate in the past 10 years.
Terrific.
Also, in addition to these full-time numbers, in the past quarter we've served 23 clients, 3 staff trainees, 2 staff from Missouri who came and spent almost a week with our staff and students. The director and deputy director came. That was really a good opportunity. And we had 25 3-day stays, 22 activities, which we've already talked about. We've been able to increase those with thanks to the alumni group. And 83 tours with 206 people touring. So center staff managed to do all of that in addition to the ongoing training for everybody. Staff updates, Mitch Green is a voc rehab tech. He started August 18th. He began center training November 6th. Nicole Chopin is a VR tech, started August 29th, and her center training is in process and will end November 3rd. And you mentioned Connie Carlo becoming a voc rehab technician. The Kearney office, Becky Bartlin, is a new half-time staff assistant. She started October 4th, but she won't come for training until January. And then she will be full-time during the training period. Then in North Platte, we've hired Renee Barton as an orientation counselor, and she started her center training October 16th. We have had a tort claim filed against the agency. We did respond to that and recommended not to pay the claim. That's all run by the state risk management, the state claims board. And so now that we've done our response to the claim, then we just wait for a hearing to be set or whatever the next step would be. I believe that's the next step. At any time, stop me. We also have an item later that's for a CAP update, so we can talk more about that then, or if you have questions about that now, I'd be glad to answer them.